I love this guy right here. This is a good guy. Amen. Shepherd's heart, humble heart, and a servant's heart. And that's just three of the things I really appreciate about Gavin. Father, I bless him. We love him. We thank you, Lord, for his broken and contrite heart that's ever before you. Continue to build what you want to build in him and in worship and tech in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody. Welcome Gavin this morning.
Tech, tech, check, check. Yeah, we got it. Hang on 1 second here. Just some more tech here. So initially, we got like 15 minutes, but don't worry, it was going to be short anyways. This is great. This is perfect. Man, I'm telling you. When I came on like as full-time worship pastor and kind of took over that position, Steve and Gretchen said, hey, we want to get together, have a meeting and hear your heart. You know, what's your vision for the team and, you know, where you feel like the Lord is leading. And so I sat with that question for a while and I just felt like I need to have like a 5-year plan and, you know, all this vision just to, for days, you know, and, so I, you know, we're going to redo this, the stage and the fog and the lights and we're going to, it's the lasers. Yes. We need a laser op. If anybody is, in on that, they could run the lasers. That's just, it's all 2021. Don't worry. But really I sat with the Lord on it and from the last sermon, you guys know this, like he just, the next step is all he can really trust me with. I mean, honestly. So he said, vision for the worship and tech team, spiritual family. That's really all I have. We're going to dive into what it means and what it looks like, tangibly. But, one of the major pieces of it that he told me was intentional investment. And ultimately my version of spiritual family is just caring about the people around me. Just really, that's it. And, it definitely has some components that are really vital to me actually purposefully doing that. And again, we'll jump into those, but, that's it. Vision for worship and tech teams is building spiritual family. And, it's certainly, begun in our teams. One of the main modes of communication we use is GroupMe. And that's been a great facilitator for, conversation and a lot of the different team members, Donna being one of them, Shelley, will put out scripture and stuff for us to dwell on together. And it's rich and it's definitely, developing in our teams. So, when thinking about the sermon today, waited to the last minute as usual. I think it was Thursday. The Lord's, I was just trying to listen. You know, what do you have for me? Spiritual family. What does that mean? And he said, well, why don't you ask your spiritual family? Why don't you ask the people that you know your family with what God said to them about it? So I did. I started texting a few people. He just gave me like a list of 7 people or something like that. These are the people. Just text them. And I'll tell you what the spiritual family looks like. And it was awesome to hear the response. It really was. It was good. So we'll get into that. One of the things, there's a document called Grace Church's Position on Discipleship. And it says a spiritual family is an experience and not a definition. It represents a committed, intentional small group of people that have been developed together over a long time. And they come together because they want to, not because they have to. So that's really cool. Gretchen sent me that. One member of my spiritual family. Next. Some people gave scriptures. Some people just what it means to them out of their heart, you know. Some gave both. I'll let you guess what Steve did. He definitely gave both. But he said spiritual family is brothers and sisters in Christ who walk together advancing his kingdom. So, one of the things that you'll notice about spiritual family is it's not, super general. It's, the way that I look at it, in my growing up years, I had a church family and everybody bragged about, oh, I just feel loved in the church family and the church body and everything. And that's really good. Like for real life, it's great to have a body of believers like this. But at midnight, I can't just pick any one of you out of a deal and expect for you to answer my phone call. I really can't. That's a poor expectation on my part. So that spiritual family brings that down. And one of the key components is that last bit right there, advancing his kingdom. There's intentionality in a spiritual family. It's not just like letting life move you through what you're supposed to do. It's intentional. It's God-focused. And in fact, let's talk about Jesus and what he says. Again, Steve sent me this. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of the Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. So he spells out what spiritual family is in that verse. Again, it's intentional. It's Christ-focused. The purpose is that we're spurring each other on to do the will of the Father and spiritual family. Moving on. Miss Annie. She sent me a couple whole books of the Bible. I just picked out a couple snippets that stood out to me. It's a lot of good, rich stuff in Ephesians 4 as a whole. But these are the pieces that stuck out to me. I didn't watch your whole Marco Polo, by the way. I'm sure there was good stuff. So Annie has a lot of good things to say about spiritual family. If you'd like to follow up with her, she can do that. So anyways, Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, I'll start. This is NASB. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of you, he has given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So what I liked about that part is now we're talking about how we participate in spiritual family, how we act towards one another in spiritual family. Humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, love, to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So going to the next piece of that. So he gave these things to us. And I think the spiritual family, especially with the band, it's a micro version of the church as a whole. So all of the things that the church is as a whole is encompassed in the band. And our church here, the Church of America, it explodes out, but at the core, the spiritual family holds all these things. So 11, it says, and he gave some, these gifts, apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to all the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, fitted together and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes growth of the body and the building up of itself in love. So we have all of these, that's fivefold, right? We have all these gifts inside of the band, and this is how we intertwine. This is how what every joint supplies, I love that part, fitted together, the whole body, held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. I think that's a great picture of what the vision God has put in me for the band, the worship teams, and the tech teams is like. Why would I ask everyone to be like me if I'm a hand? Why would I ask everybody to be a hand? I'll give her the hands. I mean, people can be touched by that, but providing a space for all of us to develop into the fullness of what God has called us to. is the way that we're going to accomplish the work of this ministry. So, next, Christy Whitlock. And she had a lot of scriptures. Oh, man. I was going to preface this. Don't look. Okay. So she had a lot of scriptures as well. But there was one that stuck out to her and one piece that stuck out to her. And I'll get to that on this next slide. But I love what stood out to her. And it was funny, as I went through these different things, I read the scriptures that everybody sent me, Christy specifically. I would read this verse and then I'd jump up here and read this and I'm like, oh, we need to talk about that, you know? And it was sometimes not even the verse that she said, but it led me down the right path, you know? And I really liked that. But Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So again, that's reiterating the scripture that Annie sent. This is the structure of spiritual family. And actually, I just made a big deal about nothing because the next scripture is the one that I was talking about. It's got a really good thing that Christy pointed out. So this is the walking out of that family. This is what it looks like to walk out as a spiritual family and be and move as that tightly knitted body. So this talks about the apostles and what they were doing. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles, or the disciples, teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many signs and wonders and signs, are taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and were adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I'm going to come back to that. And they began selling their own property and possessions. They were sharing them with all as anyone might have need, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord. So the part that stuck out to her, you'll notice on this slide and the previous slide, is the breaking of bread. Oh man, diving provision. I misspelled that. Divine provision. Bread. Divine provision. So literally, bread obviously means bread. We're all pretty familiar with that. But figuratively, the bread of life. They were partaking everywhere they went. They were breaking bread daily with each other. And that's my hope as we build spiritual family with our worship team and our tech team. And for this body, we're breaking bread together and partaking of the divine provision that God has for us. So here's another little snippet, Clay Allison. So having love and respect, this is what spiritual family means to him. Having love and respect for each other and being able to draw from and give love, kindness, and wisdom to persons who will receive and reciprocate. One of the terms that we use for that is a person of peace. So you know in your spirit if a person is able to receive from you, or if you're able to receive from a person, do you have a hardened heart? Are they in a place where they're going to receive what you're saying? And that is super vital. If we're going to break bread together daily, that we're able to speak what the Lord is speaking through us to one another on a consistent basis, daily. We respect one another. We have honor for one another and what the Lord is saying through that other person. Here's another one that I thought was really awesome. It's George Lair. Is George in here? Where is he at? There he is, George Lair. Spiritual family is real, guys. I don't know if you know that, but everybody really has true lives happening. Everybody is walking through stuff. It's 2020. If your life is real pretty, you're not from Earth. I'm just saying. Just kidding. George and Rebecca recently had a house fire. That's real life. That's devastating. The witness and the testimony that George has been in my life as being a part of his spiritual family. It's huge. But what I took from what he said, these aren't his exact words, but what I took from what he said is defining spiritual family at times is less important than being able to identify and call on those who are a part of yours when your world's on fire. I think you guys get that one. Mm. So Matthew, this isn't the book of Matthew. This came from Matthew Lahan. This is going to be confusing. I'm glad I got this one right. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. It's the whole chapter. We got it all right here. And it's entitled The Excellency of Brotherly Unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edges of his robe. It's like dew from Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Man, brotherly unity. We've talked about a lot of the themes going on in all of these scriptures for a fair bit of time this year, and I'm not sure if you know what I'm hinting at, but unity is amongst the list of things. Spoiler alert, we're gonna get to that. So we see how the Lord feels about unity, brotherly unity. And he also sent me Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Dear brothers and sisters, if anyone or if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share, which means, also another translation says bear, which means to take away each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. I love the way it just says it real plain. Like, we don't need to know the Greek on that. We really don't. You're not that important. Man, that's good. So again, this is a really important aspect of spiritual family. We have to be real with each other, and we have to go deep with each other. I mean, and we have to, if we're going to participate in it, give that to one another. We have to be willing. We really have to be willing. This is kind of a tangible thing, and I don't even know that it relates, but I thought this is funny. Aaron's beard here, Psalms 133, even Aaron's beard. So anybody get affected by the ice storm? Oh, yeah, everybody. Yeah, everybody. Matthew definitely did. Matthew and Annie's house had a lot of tree destruction. I mean, this big old guy just right on the trunk and fell. Actually, if he hadn't parked his car away from where he normally parks, if he was in his normal spot, that sucker would have been crushed. I mean, full on crushed. But he had a lot of other tree damage, a lot of burden in his yard, if you will. His take on it was, well, I'll just clean it up over the next like year probably, you know. And he had a part of his spiritual family show up with his family, three little daughters and his wife, and bear his burden. He took it away. You know what he did? He really actually took it away. He called his brother and said, hey, we're going to chop all this up and you can have the firewood and we're going to take this burden away from one another. It's a great tangible example of what the Lord wants us to be doing spiritually. Amen. Okay. Nope. Man. Okay. So First Corinthians, is this it? 12:14-21. Oh, this is what the Lord showed me about spiritual family. And that's why I didn't put the name on there, because I should have known. But for the body is not one member, but many. The foot says, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body. It is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. It is not for this reason any less a part of the body. The whole body, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. I'm going to hold there. Where was I going through 21? Yeah. That to me is just another beautiful picture of why everyone on the worship team, everyone on the tech team is so vital and so important. Everyone in this body, like I said, the worship team and what God wants in it, he wants everywhere. He doesn't change. His truth doesn't change. It can go all the way down to the finite. But we can't function without each other. So what he told me to do is create an environment for people to be who they're called to be. If I'm getting in the way of that, I'm doing it wrong, ultimately. And that is the end. It's, man, and gosh, isn't it easy? Why would I ask Robert, who's obviously probably like a bicep or something like that, you know, heavy lifting kind of thing? Why would I ask him to be the pinky toe? So this is like kind of in summation what he's showing me with the worship team. When cultivating spiritual family, we provide a place for all members of the family to function fully in the gifts and strengths God has gifted them in. As one, we can manifest the full expression of his body as his people, worshiping in spirit and in truth and encouraging others to do the same. I don't have to worry about what we're doing here. I really don't. It's a byproduct of what we're doing within the spiritual family that we're cultivating. So, I trucked through that thing. That was pretty fast. The last thing that he showed me in all of this is all of these themes that all of my spiritual family brought to me, all of the things that they showed me pointed to the development and cultivation and he's right here. You guys recognize that? A healthy spiritual family honors one another. They have humility. They trust each other. They have unity of the spirit, and they have hearts for reconciliation. Scott, you can go ahead and come out. I know that was really fast, but that's what the Lord has shown me, and what he has for the worship and tech team and what he wants to cultivate within our group. And like I said, it's already moving, but I want you to know that if the Lord's leading you to be a part, we just so welcome it. We just so welcome it. It's been amazing since I started. Like, I have gaping holes in my skill set. I really, really do. Like, the day that they're like, okay, take over, see if you can do it. They didn't really do that. Well, you guys were here, weren't you? Prayed over me right here. But the day that that happened, like, he filled in all the gaps. Scott's one of these. He does so many things in organizing and keeping my brain on track that I could never do myself. It's amazing. We have a lot of other team members that facilitate in that way, and I'm just so thankful that I don't have to try and be the full body of Christ myself. Dear Lord, we'd be in trouble, right? We'd so be in trouble. All right, Steve, come on up.
Amen. Come on, give him a hand. That's good, brother. Good. So, do we need to release your team to go back for the meet and greet? Or okay. So Gavin's going to head back. If you want to partner, what a wonderful heart. What a wonderful heart. And always there to prop people up. I'm glad you mentioned Scott and, you know, Michelle Dykes. And there's so many on the team, many backstage too. too many to name, but it truly is a team. Will you stand with me? So we're going to release those that are headed to the fellowship hall that's part of the worship team meet and greet. You guys go ahead and head back and prepare. If you have questions, maybe you just want to get to know Gavin or Scott or Anita or any of them better, you can visit with them back in the fellowship hall. I think Robert would make a good pinky, but he probably is more of a bicep. What a blessing, though. Even the five core tenets representing and foster spiritual family. I love where we're headed, church. I love where we're headed. I really do. Father, I thank you for what you're writing upon our hearts. And Lord, even early this morning, you know, about Shema and just hearing and obeying. May we come out of the mindset that our relationship with you and our activity is limited to Sunday morning. Let us come out of that. And let's be the church all week long. Let's be good to each other. Let's honor one another. Let's cultivate spiritual family together. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, have a great day, everybody. Be blessed.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.